From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. I'm looking forward to what you brought in today. Let's have a look. Merry Christmas to everybody and to all of our good friends out there listening. Troy, you've come in from Southbound Records and you've got some amazing music to poke in the face of the average BFM listener.
Indeed.
Even at this busy time of the year where we're rushing to and fro and trying to get all the things tied up before we move on to the next stupidly mental year, we've still got time for music, yeah?
Oh, I have time for nothing else but.
Nothing else but?
No.
Let him go to the toilet. You just sit there in a chair, do you?
All of that.
Your skin melds in with the fabric in the chair, just listening to music over and over and over.
Yeah. Yep. I don't even have time to remember to bring everything I'm supposed to bring wherever I go. So there you go. Now. First thing we're going to look at is this excellent new reissue. Now, Third Man have reissued this record, which came out in 1968. And the record is by the magnificent Muddy Waters.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Muddy Waters, what a character. What a character and what an influential must-have artist in any record collector's repertoire, the record collection.
I think so. And this one here, this is the one which is quite a contentious record.
That's the cover there?
That's the cover.
That's a great looking, it's a very modern looking cover.
It is.
Just basically a white cover, black funky font, just says Electric Mud.
Electric Mud. Now you might go,
what does that mean? What does that mean?
Does it mean Muddy Waters is using electric instruments? Well, Muddy Waters had been for quite some time. What does Electric Mud mean? Well, it means electric in the 1968 terminology, like electric Kool-Aid or psychedelic.
Oh, well, like Freakazoid stuff.
Like Freakazoid stuff. Now, if you open gatefold there.
This gatefold here? Yeah. We can find that there. So where am I looking?
In the gatefold. The picture you said his head was.
Well, that one, the one where I said his head's too big for his body.
Yeah, that one.
And then I said, that's rich coming from me, isn't it?
So
I do run a big head, I'll be fair about that. This one. Now we're looking, ladies and gentlemen, this is a photo of Muddy Waters giving us a look of, you know what I've got in store for you, with a cool-looking guitar and a white caftan.
A white caftan. And do you think that he might have just had his hair cut in that picture?
It definitely, and sandals too, I might add, too. Right. And the caftan has a cord, so like a robe.
There you go.
It's a religious thing. But but look at that hair. Look at that, what do you call it?
It's a quiff.
It's a beautiful quiff. I'd like to put my hair in a quiff like that.
Well, luckily, there's kind of instructions on how you can do that. The poster, which comes with this reissue, is a poster of the actual process of Muddy getting his hair cut.
Now, Muddy getting his hair cut is, that's an interesting thing to put in your album. A picture of you getting your hair cut. There it is there. I'm going to click on there. It's there's 9 photos altogether. 9, the process. A towel's wrapped around the forehead there, and then it's obviously dealt with there. A bit of clipping, a bit of cutting,
bit of hair rollers.
Still cutting there, rollers, yeah. And then basically the styling and the grooming, and then boom, final success. The most beautiful hairstyle you've ever seen on a legendary musician.
Now, do you have any idea what that barbershop might have looked like?
You know, until I saw the back of the album, no, I didn't. But let's have a look at the back of the album. Now, this is the first time we get a colour photo.
It is, yes.
And on the back of the album, it's as though we're sitting in the barber's chair ourselves.
Right, what can you see?
Okay, let me paint this picture for you, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, here we are. We are looking basically at a well-used and busy barber's shop customers in the mirror. Is that your customer there? Oh, I can see some hairspray with the lid off.
Well,
with the lid off.
Yeah.
Ooh, yuck. And then the whole bunch of like hair ties and cock rings, whatever they got there. And then some scissors, pen, a comb, a simple black comb, a shaving brush. Then we get a little bit funky. There's like a spittoon to the right there. But I guess taking the lead on the counter is an ostrich feather quill.
Yes, indeed. That pen wasn't quite good enough, was it?
No. Just for those of you who are doing any sort of fancy calligraphy while you're getting your hair cut. But then taking charge of the whole counter there is a big golden cobra with jeweled nostrils and eyes.
See, that's what I want to see in the barbershop.
Yeah, there we go. That's the back of that album. Now, the song listing is also on there, Troy. It says, track number one, I Just Want to Make Love to You, followed by Hoochie Coochie Man, Let's Spend the Night Together, She's All Right. Side two, I'm a Man. Herbert Harper's Free Press, Tomcat.
Yeah.
Ooh, yuck. And then same thing. There we go. So it's just a tiny little late tracker. But what are we going to play off it?
Well, I think we'll start with the first tune. Now, the thing which has made this record contentious is the fact that...
he's a filthy bugger.
Well, apart from that, Marshall Chess, one of the... Well, his dad was Leonard Chess. Marshall was
did
given...
Did he invent chess?
Yes, he did.
The game?
Yes, he did.
Right.
Leonard did. So Marshall Chess, his father's...
Not
father
the musical.
Said, no, the game.
For night and back in the world, yours.
Marshall Chess formed a sub-label of Chess called Cadet Concept. And his first record, he goes, I've got this idea for this psychedelic soul sort of group, and it's I'm going to call it the Rotary Connection. So he did that.
That's before there were rotary cars.
Yeah, or rotary clubs. And
was it before rotary clubs? Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure about that one. But
that would have upset our rotary membership, listenership.
He had Marshall had at his fingertips a book with phone numbers of some of the greatest Chicago young musicians, people like Phil Upchurch, people like Pete Cozy, who, as you remember,
yep.
Went on in 1973 to be one of Miles's guitarists.
Yep.
So the
we talked about Pete recently, haven't we?
We have. Pete Cozy's fantastic. In fact, he had this pool of great musicians. So he had an idea. He thought, what if I get Muddy in and then I get these young cats, the most avant-garde black young players in Chicago, and I put them together and we'll make a psychedelic blues record. Don't forget the wah-wah. Actually, three lead guitarists on this record.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't want you to not be no slave. I don't want you to.
Very Hendrix-y sounding, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want you sad and blue.
Just look at him with his haircut and his caftan.
I want to make
cover. Did he write the song?
No, this is one of those sort of blues standards which have been going for about 20. I think he'd even recorded it before.
Yeah.
But not quite like this.
Notice he doesn't say please.
No, he doesn't on this one.
Just demands.
So you can probably guess that this record was received rapturously and the critics loved it and blues purists loved it. Well, no, they didn't.
They hated it.
They hated it.
Yeah, of course they did. That's freaky in this, man. This is for people that are on the drugs.
Yeah. Well, this has become, it's become one of those ridiculous pieces of conventional wisdom that goes, oh, this record was a flop and, you know, it was... this and that. Of course, it wasn't a flop. This was the biggest selling Muddy Waters on Chess ever. Sold nearly 250,000 when it came out, right?
Wow, quarter of a million back in those days. Quite a lot back in those days. Only about 250,000 people on the whole planet.
Yeah, there was. They all like Muddy too. even now, people go, like, along with this and a Howling Wolf album that Cadet Concept put out called This Is Howling Wolf's New Album. He doesn't like it. He didn't like his new electric guitar at first either. That's the title. along with those two records, it was seen as one of those things you're supposed to look down your nose at and mock and go, oh, all the Muddy Waters, the great Muddy Waters was being exploited.
He's lost it.
Oh. Nonsense. This is a really fun album.
All right. This looks like a whole world on this album. It's a sort of album you open up and you can just feel the crackling energy come out and it taints your whole world and you become a freak.
That's right.
And yeah, those albums, you know.
They recorded it in a day.
In a day?
No overdubs.
Greg had the caftan on that day.
I don't think he did in the studio.
Oh, well, you're going to call now my day. It'd be good for Breeze getting up there cool and keeping yourself cool.
I think that might have been the end of the day. That's why he needed the
celebrate
haircut.
Celebrate the caftan. Yeah. Haircut and the caftan. What else we got, Troy?
What else we got? Now, another one from back in the day. This one here has been just unearthed. In the 1960s, a great singer by the name of P.P. Arnold first went to Britain as
P.P. Arnold, yeah.
Yeah, as a member of iCantina's iCats. And she liked it in Britain. She ended up staying there and was signed by Immediate Records. Now, I have always thought that one of the greatest things about the greatest song ever by the Small Faces, Tin Soldier, was the fact that P.P. Arnold did the backing vocals on it. She was tremendous. She ended up hanging out with the Small Faces. Marriott and Lane wrote some stuff for her. In fact, they originally, Steve Marriott wrote Afterglow of Your Love for her, but she liked it so much he realised it was a bit better than he thought, and he goes, no, the Small Faces are having that, I'll write you something else. Anyway, by 1968, Immediate Records had come to like a crashing halt, and P.P. Arnold was left sort of, hanging. She'd done two records. Suddenly, no record deal, no nothing. And then a friend of hers hooked her up with a guy who had just left a band. And the guy, his name was Barry Gibb.
The best types of guys.
Barry Gibb had decided to leave the Bee Gees to focus on writing and producing.
What?
Yes. So, this is 1968. So, he did a lot of work writing, arranging, producing, playing with P.P. Arnold. And until his manager goes, no, you have to go back to the Bee Gees. Off you go. And
really? So yeah. What era Bee Gees was this? Was this bloody coal miners?
The disaster, yes. Around that era. It was long before the shrieky stuff that we associate with him now.
How dare you?
Shrieky.
I love the fucking Bee Gees, mate.
Do you? Shrieky stuff.
You mean the stuff? Yeah, I love it.
The tragedy.
I love it. Yeah.
Tragedy.
I can't have you. I don't want. That's not their song. Obviously.
No, that was Yvonne Elliman.
I know, but they also wrote the theme to Grease. He wrote the theme to Grease.
Yes, Barry Gibb did. You're right.
Sure did. You know.
Yep. But anyway, once he left the PPR,
Bee Gees are awesome, man. The Saturday Night Era. How dare you say Shrieky? Get out. Done. We're done.
I've gone. Bye bye.
Medicated Goo by P.P. Arnold.
Yeah, this one, not produced by Barry Gibb.
I was going to say.
Produced by...
You've lost your Barry Gibb privileges, mate.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Someone that I...
Who? Who?
I've not had much time for that gentleman before, but...
No, me neither.
Oh, this sounds like it's a cover of a Traffic song. Guess what?
Listen to that cool voice, though.
Yeah.
I bet she's going to... Rhyme that do and you with goo. Well, not yet.
No, that was a you, yeah.
Lovely.
Okay, never released at the time.
Never even released at the time.
Never released.
Who found this?
Stevie Craddock out of Ocean Colour Scene.
One good thing that Ocean Colour Scene's done. They're a terrible band.
I'll remind you that in 1995, Ocean Colour Scene put out a single with who on backing vocals?
P.P. Arnold. Well, didn't make a dent in my mind then. This does, though. This is good. I love that voice.
It's amazing.
He told me this, the guy that produced this is the same person who produced Darling, You Look Wonderful Tonight. One of my most hated songs ever. Okay, P.P. Arnold, Medicated Goo. What else we got? That's great. I like that.
Okay, so that album...
It looks really gorgeous on the cover too.
Yep. What is the album
it's
called?
Great cover. It's called The Turning Tide. Has that just been released like...
Like 2 or 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And it was never released, the album or the song?
The whole album.
Wow!
None of this ever released.
Hey, welcome to the world of music, P.P. Arnold. Thanks for good on you for sticking it out there. Whoever found that, I'll give a dollar to the Ocean Colour Scene Fund.
Also, Stevie Craddock went and it was unmixed when he found it. He's mixed it all. So
wow,
there you go.
What's he doing? What's he doing? Poking around finding albums like that? Did he hunt it down?
I think it's something to do with his wife.
Oh,
I think his wife is P.P. Arnold's hairdresser or buddy or manager. I'm not sure.
Joking?
I'm
That's
not
so
joking.
Cool. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Isn't that
awesome.
Great?
Yeah, great. Okay. The Turning Tide by P.P. Arnold on Kundalini Records, which is another thing altogether. But released on October the 6th of this year. Well, cool.
Yep. So CD and vinyl. We got it in store and boy, oh boy, you're going to love that record.
That's a really cool looking record. All right. Hot damn. What do we got now?
The last thing we're going to do is something from 1973. Now, in the late 60s, in East Harlem, there was like a community project to help out kids and, you know, give them something to do, keep them on the right track, whatever. So a community choir was formed. Not just any silly old community choir. This one here, the Voices of East Harlem, they ended up playing with a lot of huge bands. Like sometimes there was up to 20 singers of these kids on stage. By kids, I mean like teenagers and, you know, young adults. And they signed to Elektra Records, did two albums on Elektra. One of them, Donny Hathaway, did some production on. And then they signed to the Blue Sunshine label. Now, this record here, The Voices of East Harlem, the production on this is sort of split between Leroy Hudson, who took over from Curtis Mayfield in The Impressions, and Curtis Mayfield. Now, they produced, they did two albums on this label, and this third one is the one that I think is, if it's not the best, it's certainly the most varied. It's not only sort of gospel-styled soul. It's got some funkier material on it, but also I think the one we're going to choose is pretty much I think one of the first examples of a modern type of soul that really like took over on the airwaves and the dance floor a couple of years later.
Wait, so what year are we talking?
1972, 73 we're talking.
Lovely. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the strings and soul didn't come just from Philly, did they?
Excuse my French, but fuck, that's cool.
Yeah.
Love that. Kind of reminds me of some early Sesame Street action.
Kind of. And the same sort of empowering stand-up thing that you'd find on Sesame Street.
But I was thinking about manatees just then.
Yeah. Why can't
I believe it? That's awesome. Merry Christmas, Troy. Right, so what's this on an album? This is on an album called?
This is simply called The Voices of East Harlem. Soul Brother in England have re-released those final two records.
Thanks, Soul Brother.
And who would have thought that after all this time, something like this could still sound so resonant and
It's got a little bit of a Jesus Christ Superstar-y era vibe about it too, eh?
I think mainly that's because we've got like an entire chorus of voices. And a bit of fifth dimension sort of, Oh,
love that
now.
Brass. Sort of, if you wanted to get a team of people together to solve mysteries or something like that, that'd be a good theme. I love the optimism in this music.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think also tip of the hat to Leroy Hudson, who not only produced this, but he did all of these.
Tip of the big felt hat.
The string arrangements, everything is down to Leroy. Who you would thought, is he just the singer in The Impressions?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Oh, great stuff. Polyester. Hey, look, okay, that's New Vibrations by the Voices of East Harlem. Troy, the album is called Voices of East Harlem.
Yes, it is indeed.
And the other two albums we've talked about today were Electric Mud and P.P. Arnold.
Yes.
The Turning Tide? The Tide Turns.
The Turning Tide. By P.P. Arnold.
All available from the record store.
Right up there in Simon Street.
Thank you very much, Troy. Thanks for coming in.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.